chapter 1. We're continuing our series on accepting the great invitation, saying yes to the secret place. And today it's part 3, the secret of radical obedience. In James chapter 1, verse 22, and for this series I'm reading from the New King James Version, it says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself." Hearing God's voice in the secret place is one of the keys to living an overcoming life. And we talked about this last week in our message when we talked about shutting the door and opening our ears. So we want to hear the voice of God, and that is important. But I want to give you some warning. Hearing God's voice must result in obedience. We hear, then we do. I personally do not believe that God will waste his words with us if he finds out we're not ready to do what he tells us to do. And I find this rather annoying as a pastor when people always want new teaching. They want to hear something new, but they're not doing anything with the old that they already have. So I suggest that rather than get something new that just kind of accumulates your guilt before God because it's got more that you're responsible for and you're not doing it with anything with what you've already got. God holds us accountable for what he's given us. So if we've heard the word of the Lord, he holds us responsible to what we've heard, and he expects us to do something, amen? So we hear first, and then we do. The secret of radical obedience. Radical is a term that we got familiar with in the 60s. There were a lot of radical students in the 60s that were throwing firebombs and burning and destroying government buildings, including a lot of our college campuses. We called them radicals. And then when God began to move amongst that same generation and they started following Jesus Christ, we called the Jesus people radicals. Well, radical really means something that affects something that is foundational in nature. And obedience is defined as compliance with an order, request, submission to another's authority. So radical obedience is when we obey and come under authority in such fashion that it affects things that are foundational in nature. So for a few minutes this morning, let's fasten our seatbelts. I don't want that beam, 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 beam going on, letting us know the seatbelts aren't fastened. Fasten your seatbelts. And let's find out where radical obedience is going to take us. First of all, the basis of radical obedience. Radical obedience is not seeking to comply to the minimal expectations of obedience. Did you hear that? It's not looking, how little can I do to get by? That is not radical obedience. Radical obedience is really an obedience that fulfills the command to its fullest measure. It's lavish obedience. It's extravagant fulfillment of what God is asking to do. For example, if Jesus tells us to sell all and follow him, what do? We sell all and follow him. If Jesus says, follow me, what do? We change the direction we're going in, and we start following him. We follow him to the ends of the earth and back if that's what he tells us to do. Hello? And I kind of view that in a simplistic way. When I got saved and committed to ministry, and then again when we got married, we made a commitment to follow the Lord wherever He led us. If he said go, we were going. And Ruth can tell you that when we got that word from God, it didn't matter if we had another church to go to or locked in another place of ministry that provided a house for us to live in. We were packing the U-Haul and heading on the road. Why? Simply because God told us to do that. That's what radical obedience is. And when you study the word in the Greek languages, it's kind of interesting. The word for obedience is a compound word, hupakoe. Hupa, the first part of it, means under, and akoe means to hear under. Okay? So when we hear the word of the Lord, to get under God's authority and do what he's telling us is an automatic connection. Hearing under. When you're in the military and you hear the command of your commanding officer, when that means get up and line up for inspection, you don't have a choice. You get up or you're going to pay dearly. So you get up, you go out, line up, and you do whatever the commanding officer tells you. And in your practice, in basic training, you go through drills, and you march, and you march, and you march until you get it down pat that automatically when you hear the drill sergeant's command, you do what he tells you to do. Amen. That's radical obedience, doing exactly what we are called to do and recognizing that it means that we are under authority. Listen to me. You are not really under the lordship of Jesus Christ if you are not presently doing what he tells you to do. It's a contradiction to say Lord and then ignore what he's told you to do. Chew on that for a while. Amen. Radical obedience. Obedience involves listening actively to God's voice with a heart of compliant submission and then doing what he tells us to do. Obedience really has two prongs. It means stop doing what he has told you to stop doing. And that makes sense, doesn't it? And the second prong, start doing everything he's told you to do. So it deals with the sins of commission and the sins of omission. Amen? We've got to line both of them up so that we recognize and others can watch our life and see, yes, they're living under God's authority. Now, I want you to remember that living under God's authority has blessings for you. When you live under God's authority, you live under God's protection. I have an illustrated sermon I do, and if I'd thought earlier, I would have brought the umbrellas here. But I asked somebody to come up on the stage with a functional umbrella and open it up and stand under it. And I take a bottle of water and talk about the rain that's going to come and how the umbrella protects them from the rain and how being under God's authority is like getting under a working umbrella. And I squirt the bottle onto that umbrella and the person underneath doesn't get wet. The floor does, but it's only water. And the next person doesn't know the type of umbrella they're getting, but I bring out this umbrella that all the covering been stripped off of and all it's got is the ribs and ask them to pull it up and they, all of a sudden, they know what they've been asked to do and what's coming. And I take that same water bottle and I squirt it over top of them and guess what happens? They get wet. I want you to understand that when you are under God's authority, you can trust his protection to cover you. But if you're living in disobedience, which is rebellion, don't expect to be protected and have the same benefits as the person under the umbrella. You're going to be affected by the fiery darts of the wicked one. And what happens a lot of times is that people make a confession of faith in Jesus Christ. They never get to the place in their life where they start applying the Word of God and doing what they're supposed to be doing, and then they find all these problems coming their way. The fiery darts get through to them, and they look and say, well, this serving Jesus and living for Him and this salvation doesn't work. It does, but you're not working it. Hello? Hello? Don't expect the same benefits to be on the obedient and the disobedient. Jesus made it really clear that we've got to do what He says. That is living a life of radical obedience. Now, the burden of radical obedience starts not in doing good works. We know it will lead to that eventually, but it starts in sitting at His feet until we can hear His voice. So for followers of Jesus Christ, that's where it all begins. That's why this study that we're doing for a couple of weeks, maybe a couple of months, I believe is so important to us. It starts at the feet of Jesus, in His presence. All disciples need to get used to spending time in the presence of Jesus. That's where it all begins. I mean, how can we obey Him if we haven't heard what He said? And how can we hear what He said unless we spend time in His Word and in His presence, listening for His voice to speak to us? At His feet, we learn His heart. And this is so critical, because when we learn His heart, we know that we can trust Him implicitly when He tells us to do something, because we've discovered that He always has our best interests at heart. Hallelujah. In His presence, you will learn that you can trust Jesus so much with every aspect of your life, because you learn His heart, that He loves you and He has good things and nothing but good for you. Jesus comes that we might enjoy life and life to the fullest. It's the devil that's the thief, the robber, the stealer, the destroyer, the killer. Amen? So in His presence, we learn His heart for us. Amen. And we trust His leadership because we know He's looking out for our good. You got to understand that. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Amen. Jesus put it this way. He talked to the crowd. How many of you earthly fathers, if one of your children asked you for bread, would give him a stone? How many of you earthly fathers, if your children asked you for fish, would give them a snake? If you, earthly fathers, are good enough to take care of your children, how much more do you understand that your heavenly Father wants to do good things and give good gifts for His children? But you can't just learn that reading it from the Bible. You've got to learn that sitting in His presence, where you can sense the love that God has for you as an individual. Amen. Bob Sorge, who I got the inspiration from this message in his book, page 15, says, works of service gain spiritual energy from the furnace of a fiery love relationship at the feet of Jesus Christ. Amen. So the fire starts in His presence that propels us into a life of service, of good works. So it's first things first. First, we sit at His feet and listen. Then we go and do what He tells us to do. The old song expresses it quite simply. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. You see, this is so simple that we could really say that everything we need to know about following Jesus we could learn in Sunday school or children's church. Trust and obey. Trust that what He tells you has got your best interest in mind, and then do it. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. And then we've got to be certain to communicate to you that there are benefits to radical obedience. In John chapter 12, verse 50, the words of Jesus, "And I know that his command is everlasting life." When we obey him, the life that resides in obedience to him becomes the recipient of the flow of the life of God into our hearts when we obey him. So if you picture God's blessing as a shower of fresh, clean water, when you turn the spout on by submitting and obeying him, that water washes over you and all the stuff that's dirty melts away and you feel clean. And you walk out of there ready to take on the day. Can you say amen to that? Life flows to us when we obey. Isaiah 66, verse 2, the word of the Lord says this to us, "But on this one will I look," this is God speaking through the prophet, "on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word." When we tremble with anticipation for the word of God to hear it and obey it, God fastens his eyes on us to do good on our behalf. Hallelujah. So this is a good thing that's going on. So the word of the Lord comes to us, and we hear the word of God, and we're excited in a positive way, and we tremble with anticipation of the opportunity to obey what he's telling us to do. And when we do that, God watches us, and he looks for ways to bless us. Hallelujah. That's a good thing. You want God's blessing? Tremble in anticipation to his word so that you can obey it and get that flow going in your hearts and lives. That's Isaiah 66, verse 2. That's the word of the Lord. John 14, 21, Jesus said, "He who has my commandments and keeps them," okay, that's hearing and obeying, "it is he who loves me." So when you do what he's told you to do, it confirms in a measurable way that you love God. When Jesus sees you make the transition from being a hearer only to a hearer and doer, he says, "That person loves me." And then listen to what he says next. "And he who loves me will be loved by my Father." Wow. Do you want to have the assurance every day that the Heavenly Father loves you? Jesus said, if you hear and do what he tells you to do, it'll confirm your love for him, and the Father will love you. But it goes on beyond that. Listen to this. "And I will manifest myself to him." Radical obedience demonstrates our love for God and brings a fresh understanding of God's love into our life, but it also produces greater intimacy, and Jesus reveals himself to us in ways that we never saw before. And we learn things about him because we're obeying him that are kept from those who never obey. So hang on to this for a minute. What I am actually telling you is that if you are not living in obedience, you cannot know and discover the things that people around you have discovered by obeying. So if you're thinking you're a know-it-all, I hate to rain on your parade, but I'm gonna. You don't know the beginning yet because you're not walking in obedience. Hello? When you walk in obedience, your eyes are open and you discover more. Now, I got a simple question for you. In Matthew chapter 8, Jesus had a couple of followers that had some questions concerning being disciples. And they wanted to follow Jesus, but one of them wanted to go bury the dead in his household and then come back and follow Jesus. And if you understand what was going on there, he didn't have somebody at home that just died and he wanted to go to their funeral. That wasn't it at all. He wanted to fulfill first, before he followed Jesus, his obligation to his parents, so that he would stay with them until they died and they were buried and the estate was all taken care of. Then he would go and follow Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and said, "Let the dead bury the dead." To another one, he said, "Follow me." And they said, "Well, Lord, let me first do this. Me first." That doesn't work with the lordship of Jesus Christ. If he's Lord, there's no me first. It's him first. And from that passage, we learn that delayed obedience is not obedience at all. Until you change that delay into something that's done, you are living in disobedience. Hello? Jesus gave another parable. He talked about a man who gave the word to his servants to go and do this, and the one said, "I'm not going to do it." And the other one said, "I'm going to do it." So the first one practiced radical obedience. And the other one, "No, I'm not going to do it." But later on, he decided that he needed to do that. So he turned disobedience into radical obedience. And that's the key for all of us. At this point in your life, if you are not doing everything he's told you to do, you're living in disobedience. If you have not stopped doing everything he's told you to stop doing, you're living in disobedience. He doesn't want delayed obedience. He wants radical obedience. So stop sinning now, start doing what is right, and start doing it now. Hello? You know, we're living in a day in which some people think that to really be spiritual is to hear the word of the Lord come in all these ways that make you feel good. But I want you to know that God's word sometimes, before it makes you feel good, makes you really uncomfortable and squirm in your seat. That's the work of God contriting you to the point of brokenness so that you can begin to understand, I've got to start doing what God has told me to do. Whew. That little remark was kind of thrown in there free. Amen. We look for radical obedience. And then to wrap this all up and bring it to a close, the caboose is here. And the whistle's going to blow in just about a minute, okay? Matthew 7, 24 through 27. The teaching of the wise and the foolish man, one building his house on a rock, one building on the sand. Have you ever stopped to consider the context of that passage? That is part of the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount starts in Matthew 5 with the Beatitudes, continues all through the 5th chapter, all through the 6th chapter, and all through the 7th chapter of Matthew, which ends with the words of Jesus that says, if you hear and do what I say, you will build your house on the rock, and you will withstand any storm that comes your way. That applies to all of the teachings of Jesus. And I've heard people say that the Sermon on the Mount contains the foundational truths of following Jesus Christ. And if you had nothing else in this world to go by than Matthew 5, 6, and 7, you have enough to grow and be rock solid in Jesus Christ. So when I talk about radical obedience, what radical obedience makes available for you is a radical foundation to build your life on. So that whatever storm comes your way, you are ready for that storm. When the storm's over, you're going to be standing firm and solid because you've built a life of obedience on the teachings of Jesus. So the next time the wind blows, you can stand back, fold your arm, and say, bring it on, blow hard. Bring it on. The next time the rains come, come on, I'm not afraid of a little bit of water. Hello? And when the foundations begin to shake all around you, you can hold your cup of coffee and it's not going to spill over the edge because it's going to be like this. rock solid. But it all starts with radical obedience to the teachings and commands of Jesus. It means coming under his authority. And there's a little song that really, really sums this all up. Ruth, would you come up? And that song is, He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and he is Lord. That means he's the supreme sovereign controller and authority in my life. That means what he says, I will do. What he says, I will stop doing. He is Lord. He is Lord. And we're going to close the service just spending a little bit of time around the altar. And if you have some lordship issues that you need to settle, you can take care of it around these altars. If you've been seeking and hungry in your heart for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you know, you could get filled with the Holy Ghost around these altars without anybody laying hands on you and praying for you. Just open your heart and ask him to fill you. Amen. He's the Father. He loves to give the Holy Spirit to his children. So as Ruth leads us in this song and I join in with her, I encourage you to come out from your seats and spend some time closing this service around these altars.
He is Lord. He has risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow. From the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess.
You bless radical obedience and radical submission. Do your work in our hearts.
Confess that Jesus Christ.